This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Well, this week we're talking about the question of God's existence. And we're having this discussion in light of a vocal movement in the West of those who not only don't believe, but want to convince others that non-belief makes the most sense and is the best path to take in life. Now, last time we discussed the fact that despite the global atheist movement, it remains the case that most people throughout the world have done and still do believe in some kind of God or supernatural being. John, I've sometimes heard you say that belief in a creator is common sense. Are you being a bit provocative here? That wouldn't be like you.
It's a little bit provocative, but it's also true in the sense that it's common. Most people throughout most of history really think there's a God, that the universe has been wired. I'm just pointing that out.
Okay, so let's push this a bit further. You might have some things in common with people of other faiths. They're more differences, aren't there, than similarities between them?
Well, where believers of the various faiths part ways is in the, if I can put it like this, the particularization of the divine figure, the Deus. I can happily endorse the logic behind a deity like Vishnu. That's, you know, a powerful, intelligent being who preserves the universe within, say, Hinduism. But I can't see a good reason to believe, for example, that Vishnu actually appeared to Prince Arjuna on the eve of his battle with the Kauravas clan to strengthen him and disclose the paths of salvation.
That's apart from Hindu believers on that part of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. So we share the assumption that there's some God, but I can't go along with what the Bhagavad Gita, the Hindu text, says about the particularization, about the way this God has revealed himself. So the story doesn't provide a unique answer to any outstanding philosophical question, so its explanatory power is limited, nor is there any historical data confirming Arjuna's visitation from this God, or even any historical verification of the battle or even his existence. So I'm left with no reason to accept this particular manifestation of divinity, even though I concur with my Hindu friends that there must be some mighty preserving being behind the universe. So on the reality of divinity, we agree, but it's as soon as you start telling particular stories about the divinity that the various religions part ways.
Okay, so we're starting to get to the difference here between deism and theism, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah, we are.
The contrast between the two.
Yeah, deism accepts that there is a powerful mind behind the universe, but it stops short of saying anything descriptive about the Deus, about the divine figure. So a soft deist would simply plead ignorance about the personal qualities of the Deus. A hard deist would insist that the Deus has no personal qualities as such. People who say they believe in a universal spirit rather than a god probably fall into this latter category. But they're both deists.
Is it more insulting to be called a soft deist?
Maybe. But I suspect some people would admit that. They're just saying, we don't know. You know, we're just being honest. We don't know.
You're just soft.
Theism, though, on the other hand, it comes from the Greek word for God, right? Theos. It's deism plus some other stuff. So it accepts the core conviction of deism that behind the rational world lies a rational mind. But it goes further than that by insisting that some things can be said about the Deus. In a sense, religion, all of the religions, begin with the assumption of deism and then move beyond deism to theism as soon as they start talking about a benevolent God or a righteous God or an angry God or claiming that a particular God has spoken in a particular text or revealed itself in a particular history or that it hears our prayers. As soon as you start to describe the God in any way, you've moved from deism to theism. That's the basic understanding. And with all due respect to committed atheists, it seems to me that deism is the only responsible and rational conclusion you can draw from simply pondering the universe. When you look at the universe and see it has this uncanny rational nature to it that corresponds to our uncannily rational minds that now understand the universe, it seems to me the only reasonable conclusion you can draw is that there has to be some mind behind it.
Mm. There'll be plenty who'll disagree with that. But nonetheless, you yourself are not a deist.
No, I'm a theist. That is, I go beyond saying that there's just some nebulous mind that's produced the universe to say that mind has revealed himself in history, right? But when I say that, I'm not drawing on philosophical ideas. I'm not just looking at the universe and drawing that conclusion. I don't think you can know anything about the character of this God, of the Deus, simply by looking at the universe. You've got to look elsewhere for that. You've got to look for historical revelation, it seems to me.
Mm, okay, we'll come back to the Deus. There have been some interesting Deists over the years, haven't there? I think Albert Einstein would fit into that category, right?
Probably. So far as we can tell from his own statements and from those who knew him, he rejected theism, the idea that it was a personal God, and atheism. So he really disagreed with atheism and hated it when people used him in their cause to sort of deny the existence of God. So he's probably a deist in that he acknowledged a kind of universal spirit whose rational nature can be seen all over the laws of physics. That seems to be the best way to understand him. Others, like Professor Paul Davies of Arizona State University, formerly of Australia but now gone, sadly, he also admits to something like deistic views, though he probably would balk at saying he's a full-blown deist, but he wrote a book called The Mind of God, in which he openly discussed his conviction that the order of the world, and in particular the emergence of our own rational minds that now understand the order of the world, cannot have been an accident. There had to be some intention behind the universe, and that makes him a deist.
I've heard of another very influential former atheist who changed his mind, Anthony Flew, who very recently died, but was a very influential writer on atheism, philosophical atheism. He changed his mind and surprised everyone when he wrote the book There Is a God, How the World's Most Notorious Atheist Changed His Mind.
Yeah, well, he hasn't come to believe in a Christian God or a personal God. He's moved to deism. He just died, but he came to the point where he thought, the rational nature of the universe can only be explained by thinking that there was a rational mind that produced it. He stops short of knowing anything more about that God, and he reckons, actually, if God has revealed himself in a personal way, the best bet is Christianity. But he's not sure Christianity's true. He stops short of that.
Well, we'll keep talking about this. If deism is common sense, as you say it is, well, some might want to know, why not just stop there? But we'll keep having that discussion.
Can't wait.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.